So we start with the second part of our scheduled lecture,
the other great chapter we are going to speak about, which is constraint optimization. So from now onwards, we want to minimize our usual objective function, f from our end to R, with the fact that we are interested only to study f
on a subset x of R n. Okay? So we want to find the minimum point or the local minimum point only if we consider the function on the region f. Okay? We are not interested in what happens outside x. Okay? Up to now we have x equal to the full space. We will consider mainly two cases. So I could also write here there is difference. Well, it's not strictly necessary because if it is equal, we should get back, for instance, the optimality condition we already had for the unconstrained case. So we are going to face this problem in two settings. First, f is a generic subset of Rn, of Rn. Okay. Not specified in any other way. A circle, a square, any area. And here we will see that we have something better if we can suppose that the set is convex. If our set is convex or not makes a bit of a difference. And then, afterwards, we will focus on the case in which x is described explicitly by a number of inequality and equalities. I mean, it is the set of points in Rn such that that satisfy, for instance, gi of x less or equal than 0 and hj of x equals 0 for, let's say, I equal 1 to n and j equal 1 to p, in such a way that we have
the region is described by m inequality constraints, the gi's are functions from Rn to R, and so are also defined from hj. And p equalities.
For instance, if you want to describe a circle, you could say that the circle is, let's say, the unitary ball. You can just say x is done this way. Or you could also say x is the set of points in Rn such that the sum from for I that goes from 1 to n is of xi squared is less or equal than 1. Okay? Or you can find also other description of this region through another other set of equalities and inequalities. Okay? For the time being, we will focus on this first case. I will show you optimality conditions today, and then we will be able to develop some algorithms for the case in which the set is convex. Okay? And then in late April or May,
We will also turn to this page. We will provide new optimality further optimality conditions and further algorithms. Okay? So this is the plan for the full set of lectures. So let's start with this case. Our problem P is given this way. We want to minimize that over a subset capital X over M, and generic subset.
This will come next.
What's the big difference with the unconstrained case as optimality concerns are concerned, as far as optimality conditions are concerned? Well, let's see.
This was our main
optimality condition in the unconstrained case. The gradient had to be zero at minimum points, okay? And this was the set of stationary points. Well, could we have the same in this situation? Well, the answer is simply, well, there's no reason why points at which the gradient of f is zero, is the zero vector, should be inside our region. For instance,
take the easiest function of all in R2, x1² plus x2².
Okay?
The gradient of this function, which is 2 times x.
So, first component is 2 times x1, and when you take the derivative with respect to x2, you have 2 times x2.
This is 0 if and only if x is the vector 0. x1 and x2 are 0.
Okay?
So, here, but if our feasible region is here,
okay, there is no point at which the gradient is 0 in our feasible region. Okay? So,
this is far too simple for the constraint case.
Okay?
I mean, you will find that here, if you take the
level curves,
they are all circles with centering zero and increasing rate. You will understand that the minimum point will probably
be here, okay? But,
so,
how could we identify this sort of point, okay? We need new tools for studying optimality conditions.
What is that we have now that we had not before?
Is the fact that the region is,
let's say, not the whole space. Somehow we are limited to some region of the space,
whether this region is bounded or not. Well, the basic idea, if we want to check optimality, is, okay, we want to check if a given point x bar in capital X is a local minimum point. So to be a local minimum point, we should have that the value of f at the point is less or equal than the value of f at each x which belongs to the feasible region, and it is close enough to x bar. Okay? If you look back at your notes for the very first lecture, the definition of local optimality, of local minimality, was this one. Feasible points such that in the feasible region, in an appropriate ball around the point, you don't find any point for which the function is
as a better body.
So the idea,
the basic idea is, okay, let's say
a sequence of points which converge to my point, which are inside the region, and let's study how f of s k behaves.
Okay?
I mean, if we want this to be, if we hope this to be a minimum point, this should be true.
Okay? Whenever I take a sequence done this way, this happens. Okay?
At least if k is large enough. As soon as xk enters the appropriate pole, this should be true.
Okay?
But what I want to focus now is this part.
Okay?
I'm approaching x bar with a sequence of points in the physical region, and here is the difference with the unconstrained case. We did not discuss this in the unconstrained case because we had the full space. We did not have to care. Okay? When you approach, let's say this point here in this set capital X, you can approach it this way, this other way, and so on. But it is not, we are not interested in approaching it this way, because here we get out of the region, okay? And we are not interested in this point, okay? We are just interested in this type of point. Well, one way to think is the following. Let's suppose I approach x-bar along lines, okay? I take a sequence on a line. Let's say, consider this vector d, I'm approaching, okay, consider this point d, this is the direction d, I'm simply approaching x bar moving along this line. Okay. All my points belong at this form for some appropriate p. Let's say I can call this x of p, and I'm approaching x bar as t goes down to zero. Okay? Well, most of you have seen this during the operation research course. A direction d is called feasible for capital X at X bar if X bar plus TG belongs to capital X whenever T is sufficiently small. So there exist some positive tau such that x bar plus t times t belongs to capital X whenever t is in between 0 and 1. Okay? So, maybe some of you remember it from operation research. Okay? The set of all feasible directions is a cone, okay, which is generally denoted this way, F, capital F, X bar, is the set of feasible directions
for capital X at x prime. Okay? I'm saying that this is a code, and it is called code of physical direction.
Do you know what a cone is?
Okay.
A subset of Rn is a cone.
If whenever a point A belongs to the cone, to A, capital A, and T is positive, then also the vector T times A belongs to the set. Okay?
If it contains a point, it contains the full outline which starts from zero and passes through X. Okay? This is a point.
Okay, so in R2, a half line is a cone.
Okay,
this set is a cone. This first set here is also a cone. Okay, this cone happens also to be a convex set. This one is not. Okay. So when we speak about cones, we don't necessarily have convexity, because this might happen. Okay. Well, the cone of feasible directions is, well, first of all, do you understand why it is a cone? It is a cone because here, if I take, rather than D, I take T times D, okay? The same definition holds taking tau to be, let's say, t bar. It is enough to take tau bar equal to the tau which depends on d divided by t bar. Okay? Because if you do x bar plus this times this, you get that the T belongs to this, the same set, and so you have this property here. Okay, let me say it better. So, you have it for D. Now you want to have it for tau, for T times D. Okay, now T bar times D. Now you take X plus TD, and you take T to be in between 0 and tau, given by this definition here, divided by T bar. Okay, now you want this, and the direction is T bar D. Well, clearly, you can put this together, and if T belongs to 0, tau divided T bar, then T times T bar belongs to 0 T, to 0 tau. Okay. So this belongs to 0 tau, and since the property holds for D with that tau, it belongs to capital X. Okay. It's a simple exercise. You can check it once again by your own. So this indeed is a code. Okay. I could add just a simple sentence. You scale the step of the direction. Okay. It doesn't matter how much this is long, because you can scale as much as you like.
The cone of visible directions is a good tool when you're dealing with convex sets.
Because you have the following description. Let's suppose that X is convex and X bar belongs to capital X. Then we have
the following two properties. The first one is that
X minus X bar is a feasible direction for any X you take in capital X.
Okay,
and this is simple to understand.
Take X bar, take a point X here.
X bar, X minus X bar is this direction D here.
Okay,
and the point X bar plus P times D describes this segment here.
Okay, and
this is in the set.
This is in the set, so the whole segment is in the set.
It is enough to say tau equal 1.
Okay?
For t between 0 and 1, this describes this set. So,
okay, then I can make the formal proof. But the idea is this.
If I take a point inside the region, I can move from that point towards X bar.
Or I can move away
from X bar in that direction, remaining in the feasible region, because the point at which I arrive is in the feasible region, and this is a convex set.
And convex, by definition, means you have two points in the set, you have the full segment.
And the second property is telling you that the cone of feasible direction is done by directions which are done only in this way.
Okay? The second property is telling you that
if D is a feasible direction, then there must exist one point in capital X and one,
let's say, how did I call in my notes? Lambda.
And some lambda greater or equal than 0, such that lambda D is equal to lambda times F minus
F bar.
So when you take, for instance, here this square, the feasible directions, this is feasible, you take all points here, you take all these directions, which allow you to remain in the rectangle, and the cone of feasible direction is this one. All directions which lie in the first quarter. The proof of the proposition is just one line for each of the two statements. The first point is just making this idea formal, turning it into a formal statement, because, well, take any t between 0 and 1,
and take
x bar plus t times x minus x bar.
Okay.
Well, look at it.
You can rewrite this as m minus t times x bar plus t times x.
Okay. But x
and x bar belong to capital X,
which is a convex set. Since it is convex, all the vectors which are done in this way belong to
X by convexity of the set.
Okay? It's just making that that idea formal. Okay? And the second one,
which seems to be
a bit more tough, is actually rewriting the definition, no more than that. So we know that this is a feasible direction. So
this is true. It is a feasible direction, so if t is small enough, this point belongs to capital X.
Okay?
So it belongs to capital X means there exists X in capital X such that X bar plus t times b is equal to X.
Okay? Now we want to prove the existence of X and lambda such that this holds. We already have X. We rewrite this in this way. D is equal to 1 over T X minus X bar. T times D is equal to X minus X bar. You divide it by T and you get the formula, and this is lambda. So if you are having a convex set, the cone of feasible directions, the directions along which you can move away from the point, so if you look backwards, you can approach the point from the feasible region, is obtained by taking all these vectors, all the difference of vectors from the set with X bar, and then taking all their multiples. Okay.
So to find the direction, you simply, if you want the direction, you simply choose a point, and then you move, and then you take it. Okay.
The cone of feasible direction becomes bad, in the sense that it becomes too small, it may become too small when we are dealing with sets which are not convex. Okay? For instance, take this set. This is
a parabola. Okay? You could say this is x1, x2, this is x2 equals x1 squared, and then you take another parabola. For instance, let's say x2 equals x1 to the, no, x4 times x1 squared. Okay?
And then take this region in between the two parabolas. This is clearly a non-convex set. Okay? Let's check what the cone of feasible direction is.
in
this point, in 0, 0.
Okay. Choose a direction.
Anyway, you choose a direction.
Okay.
At the beginning, you are outside the region.
Okay.
Because the tangent to both curves here is the horizontal line.
Okay.
So, okay, I should do this with a computer. I zoom here.
I take the zoom.
Okay. The tangent is the horizontal line. No matter how small I start to go up, how small I shoot this angle,
since this is the tangent, I'm above the graph.
Okay?
Always.
Okay.
So now both direction is feasible, because to be feasible, I should remain inside the region at least, here is the definition, at least for some time, okay? At least for some small movement along the direction. And I go outside immediately. There's no way to remain inside. No matter how small I choose this angle, okay? I get outside the region immediately. As t is positive, I'm out of the region. Then maybe I come back into the region once again. But at the start, I'm getting out. Okay? Well, I could try the horizontal line, but horizontal direction, these two, but the only point which is in this region, in this axis, is x bar itself, so this is not a feasible region, a feasible direction as well.
In this case, the cone of feasible direction, well, I would like to say it's empty, but there's always the zero vector, okay?
If here, if in the definition you take zero as b, this is always zero, and this is always true, but it is a meaningless direction, okay? I don't move, if the direction is zero, is the vector zero, I don't move, okay?
So, this is an example where this is too small, and I cannot try to study how points go to X bar staying inside the region using feasible directions.
Okay?
I cannot take sequences along feasible directions because there are no interesting feasible directions, just the trivial one.
Okay? So in that case, moving along lines doesn't help.
Here it looks like it's good. I can have information. For instance, here you see the whole square is covered by the cone of feasible directions. Here, feasible direction gives me no information.
Okay,
gives me no way to move along lines, keeping being in the feasible region.
So, there should be a more general concept,
okay, of interesting, for having interesting directions. And the idea to introduce this type
Our tool is simply, okay, let's check a generic sequence, okay, which has two properties. The points of the sequence are in X and they are going to X bar. So here, for instance, let me take blue as color. I could take sequence of points which are approaching X bar this way. Okay. And then I do, allow me some algebraic manipulation, okay? Let's say that xk can always be written as x bar plus some ek dk. For instance, if I choose dk to be xk minus x bar and tk equal 1, this equality is true, okay? When I replace x bar simplifies and you're left with xk. I don't like this. Let's take this divided by its norm so that we suppose that xk is not x bar, okay? We are interested in sequence of points which approach X bar, but we are not interested in X bar itself because we don't have to check this inequality on X bar. Okay? It's obviously true. So we can suppose that the sequence is made by points which are never X bar. So we can divide for the norm, and for the equality to hold, we must take the distance of xk from x bar. Okay, so the norm of xk minus x bar. Okay, xk is going to x bar, so this quantity tk is going to zero. Okay? Then dk has norm equal to what? I take a vector and I divide it by its norm. The norm is 1. So, these directions D all belong to the unit ball. Actually, they belong to the boundary of the unit ball. Okay? But they belong to a compact set. Okay? So you should remember our very first lectures on the background from topology. If I take an appropriate subsequence, a sequence which is in a compact set converges. Okay? So there is this. Some vector D in Rn, actually the norm of this vector will be 1, such that, let's say, dk converge to d, okay, let's say here taking an appropriate substitute. I'm interested in D. Okay. D somehow can be considered as a limit direction as I'm moving towards X bar with the point XK. Because, okay, if TK goes to plus infinity, this goes to zero. Okay. This goes to D, so this goes to zero, so I'm approaching X bar. And D gives the direction, dk gives the direction I'm taking for every value of k, and D is the limit. Okay? I'll draw you a picture. Let me do it on a convex factor. So this is X, capital X. Okay? This is X bar. Okay? I'm taking, for instance, X1. X1 is this. Okay? So, D1 is this direction. Actually, this is T1, D1. Okay? Then I have the same for X2. T2, D2. I have the same for X3, for X4, for X5, let's say X6, X7, and so on. These are the directions. Okay. If I'm doing this way, in the limit, the direction will be this one. Okay. So I'm moving along this curve. Okay, and as a limit direction, I get this one. Okay, if you want to think in terms of curves, I'm doing just curves. I'm taking any way to approach X bar, not along lines, along any curve. Okay. X1, X2, X3, X4, and somehow this D represents the tangent to this curve as I'm approaching X bar. Okay. Indeed, the set of directions which have this property is called tangent cone. I will make it formal now. Oh my god. Let's see how this D is done. This D is done in such a way that it is a limit of a sequence of directions dk, such that this type of point where Tk goes to zero belongs to the region. Okay. I can turn this into a formal definition of tangent cone. Tangent cone is the set of directions D in Rn such that there exists a sequence dk which converges to D, and the sequence tk that goes to zero, we could also say that goes down to zero, such that x bar plus tk dk belongs to capital X for all k. Okay. This is called the tangent cone of capital X at X bar. Okay. And sometimes you could also find the name of Boolean tangent cone, as Boolean was the French mathematician who formalized this idea a bit less than 100 years ago.
Okay.
Let's go back to our examples here. No interest in feasible direction.
Okay.
But whenever you approach along any curve inside the feasible region, zero, the tangent will be the horizontal line. So in this example, the feasible cone is just zero, while the tangent cone is given by the horizontal line. There are a number of properties. Of the tangent cone. I just give you the list,
okay?
If you want to have a look at the proofs, they are all tricks, okay? They are all tricks on this definition, you find them on my lecture notes. First interesting point
is that if a point lies in the interior of the set, then the tangent cone is the whole space.
Okay? Think about it. If a point is in the interior of the region, it means there is a ball around the point in the region. I can approach this point with whatever direction I like. Okay? I just can move along any segment, for instance. Okay? And sooner or later, as I'm approaching the point, I will end up the ball. So, if I'm in the interior, the point, the tangent cone is the full space. Another property, well, I called it a cone, but you should prove that it is a cone, and you can also prove that it is a convex, sorry, not a convex, a closed set. Okay? So, if you have a family of directions in the tangent cone which converge to some direction B, also direction B is in the tangent cone. Okay? For each of these direction B, you have a sequence with that point, with that property, and this is the usual argument from analysis of a chooser, or the diagonal argument. Okay? From each sequence, I choose the ones which have the properties that I want. First property, which links feasible direction and tangent cone. All the feasible directions are in the tangent cone. The cone of feasible direction is a subset of the tangent cone. This is obvious by definition, okay? Notice, here the tangent cone the feasible direction has this property for all B, okay? Here you're asking this property for a sequence of TK.
and a direction, a sequence decay. You take decay to be equal to D always. Okay? You here to prove it is enough to take decay equal D, always equal to D. Okay? You have this property and you can choose the sequence you like best. Because you have this on a full set of TK, on a full, sorry, segment of steps which go to zero. Okay, on an interval. Other interesting properties relate to convexity. So let's suppose that X, capital X, is a convex set. Then you have two properties. The first one is that the tangent cone covers the set. If you take the tangent cone with a cone with vertex 0 and you move it to have vertex in X bar, you cover the set. Okay? So here, when I take the tangent cone of this, the tangent cone will be the origin, okay? And here you will have 0, 0. You move 0, 0 into X bar, and X is covered by the tangent cone, okay? The other property, which we will use, is that actually, if the set is convex, the tangent cone is the closure of the cone of visible direction. I give you an example and then we stop for 5 minutes. Let's take that this quarter of a circle. Okay? When I do visible directions, the horizontal direction, this horizontal direction is not visible because you get out of the region immediately. Okay? So the cone of visible direction is this one. It's important except this half line. The closure of the convex set of the cone of visible direction is the origin. And it is also the tangent cone, because if I move along this curve, the tangent is this way. This is no longer true for sets which are not convex. This is an example, okay? Here, if you take the closure of the cone of visible direction, you just have zero, so this is a closed set. Okay? While the tangent cone is this full line. Okay? So, when you have convexity, there's not much difference between visible direction and the direction in the tangent cone. It could be just the border. Okay? When you have no convex set, there might be a huge difference. Okay, let's stop for just a few minutes, and then I'll show you how to use this to prove optimality conditions.